talk slow to a captain for you anyway.
I can't.
What they've done is they've done the results of the biopsy and they've looked at the MRI. And then on Friday, we meet as a big team of, you know, urology. So you've got the extra benefit that the radiologists and pathologists have all discussed your case as well. So they, what they asked me to do today is give you the results and an idea of the plan for you to think about. And then you've got Mr. Dyer to see next week. Mr. Dudridge next week.
Yeah.
And the idea is that the consultant then sort of rubber stamps things with the benefit of you being able to have a think about what I've said. Is that all right?
Yeah,
so I'll do my best to carefully go through for you. I've got a pack of information as well.
Right.
So as we go through, just throw questions and we can easily try and make sense of it, you know, so it's right. So the biopsy, which you'll probably definitely have copies of if you'd like. The biopsy was they decided to take 11 biopsies of your prostate gland, and they did, I think it was, looks like 6 on the left and 5 on the right, and all the biopsies on the left of the prostate haven't found anything at all. There's no prostate cancer on the left-hand side, just benign changes in those biopsies. And then they've done 5 biopsies on the left, the right-hand side, and the first 3 out of the 5 have found prostate cancer of a very low grade, and I've just counted quite low volume as well. So it's a Gleason 6.
Gleason 6.
So that's 3. The way you've read up on it, it's at least 3 plus 3. So when the histology looks at the tissue, you know, in the microscope, they have to grade the prostate cancer, because that helps us decide whether it needs monitoring, just watching, whether it needs treatment.
Right.
So the grade's really important for us to know to try and start the conversations, you know, with you. So the Gleason 6 means it's the most common cells they can see, they grade, and they grade it to 3.
Right.
And then the second most common cells that they can see is another 3.
Right.
So they give an overall score of 6.
Right.
And prostate cancer is graded 6 to 10.
Right.
So you've come out the lowest grade with low volume.
Right.
So there's not particularly much to worry about as regards it doing you any harm.
Okay.
Really, that's good news, you know, as regards that. Before I tell you what they've said, the MRI is also really helpful for us, because if it was a prostate cancer, it tends to look to the radiologist in the same way, and they grade that as well, called a PI-RADS classification, and it's classified as a 3, which meant it wasn't really overly worrying. It's an indeterminate.
What's the scale there?
That goes to 5, so 3 to 5, so 5 definitely. Three to five are the ones where we think are something to worry about. So a 1 and 2 is almost completely definitely not a cancer.
Right.
A 3 is like an indeterminate.
Okay.
And a 4 and a 5 is, yes, we think it is, on radiological terms. But even when the indeterminate ones get reanalyzed by us on the Friday, so that's what we did on Friday, the report says, I think that's a PI-RADS 3, I'm not sure. And then the radiologist consultant who's used to looking at them has looked at it with our team. He thinks it's right, but means he's not overly worried. He thinks the classification's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a cancer, it could not be, but it's not something that he's big enough to worry about. It just needs maybe surveillance.
Okay.
So the recommendation, after all, all that they've said is that they think there's a couple of options, is that we just sort of monitor you with the regular PSAs in either our active surveillance program or our watchful waiting program.
Right.
Just means one's more often than the other. And that way then, if potentially at some point the PSA was to say misbehave and show signs of getting out of, you know, getting a little bit higher or beyond a certain range, they may decide whether to maybe start a hormone therapy treatment rather than putting you through any risks of any aggressive treatments.
Okay.
So it's a lot to take in quickly. So they don't think
light on it.
Good.
It now, I don't think it's really warrants putting you through the side effects of any treatments.
Good.
There's not something big enough to worry about, but we do need to decide with you and Mr. Dudridge what the surveillance programme should be.
Right.
So that'll be sort of with you, Mr. Dudridge, really, to decide next week which how often he wants to watch you, whether it's 3 monthly with a PSA, which is our active surveillance programme, which also comes with an extra biopsy.
So that very much.
No, the active surveillance programme means that if they want to put you on that, we often recommend a more detailed biopsy of the prostate. It's called a mapping biopsy, where they do a much more, they do about 40 or 50 biopsies instead of 11 through a different, I know, and it's our way of sort of making sure, so you know, just when you think you can relax, in about 6 months time we send you an appointment to come in, to go asleep. It's only a day case biopsy, but we put you asleep. Sometimes that's determined if they just want to be 100% exactly. The MRI and the current, because the current biopsies are good, but they can miss some bumps that only, we're not confident yet that the MRIs are completely 100% telling us that there's nothing there. So with the active surveillance programme, the template biopsy helps us by saying it's exactly what we thought it was, and we just keep you at an arm's length with a PSA, maybe twice a year or something like that. I'm just monitoring that way. So that decision will be made really with you, Mr. Dyer, Mr. Dudridge, next week.
Thank you, Robert.
That's a lot to think.
That's very clear.
Is that making sense? Is that all right? Is that
yes, that's all right. You mentioned a day case, you mentioned putting me to sleep, so for the 40 or 50 biopsies, you're going to give me some sort of...
Yes.
Right, so.
I mean, it might be that, when you see Mr. Dudridge next week, he might say, based on everything that he's got in front of him, he might say, no, the watchful waiting programme is much more of a safe place to do that. And if it's the watchful waiting programme, you could be on our telephone surveillance programme with me or my colleague Jane, where we just get a PSA 6 monthly, and then we phone you up at home, ask about how you feel and any symptoms. You get a PSA done a couple of weeks before the phone call, and we do it in that way. So it could be plus or minus that, depending on the expertise of the urologist, really, when he looks at it with you. So you could be, get this template, and that's the active surveillance program. We could be on a watchful waiting where we feel happy that we're just, and I've got hundreds of men on the watchful waiting.
Okay.
We've got 2 clinics a week at the end of the week.
Really?
And they just get that PSA. So as long as we've got a range that we think is safe, we can do that.
There's
as well.
7, Robert.
Well, no, it doesn't stop. We have people with PSAs in their thousands, but usually they're not very well. But we can sometimes with what we've got now. So your PSA was 4.5. And now that we know what we know now, there is a possibility, because they can calculate your PSA density and the likelihood of what range your PSA can get to before we would worry. So they might think, I'm not very good at doing it, it's well, your density is well under anything that they'd be worried about, so they can work out a range to say, for example, they might say, your PSA can get above 8 before we would worry.
Okay.
So the watchful waiting programme would be a good thing where we could just keep an eye on you with that.
So I lost B's or something, and it goes down to 6 or something.
Yeah.
Is there any sort of dietary or physical?
Yeah. There are ways to lower the PSA, but we do that for people with advanced cancer, to lower it. But on this, the diet and things, there's no special diet. I mean, some people say there's a tomato diet, and there's a people that we wouldn't recommend any diet at all. Just, normal, healthy, the 5 a day or 10 a day, as they're saying now. That's an ideal diet to be on, because you're probably more likely to have harm from another problem. Before you are, your prostate.
Right, because it remains.
we'd recommend just living life healthily.
Have a lot of beer.
Yeah. Something else is more likely to bother you there. Prostate cancer early, and then be safe. You're one of those types of people that we want to monitor. Like, you know, this is not going to bother you at all. You're going to carry on with the rest of your life, the normal life events happening that have to focus on your prostate, you know.
Sometimes you reach a point where you've done the maximum you can do with the medication, and
they have to intervene with a slight procedure, you know, a day case procedure
Okay.
But that might not be too soon. So we can always incorporate, and the watchful waiting program could be that, you know, we'll monitor your PSA, and if you reported on that, that you were having waterwork problems or things have changed, because you'll know yourself quite well, we can bring you in to be assessed then.
Are there any side effects worth talking about of taking this
compound? Not really too many side effects, no. I mean, there's the sort of blood pressure side, but you've probably got over that really a little bit, you know.
I don't have the blood pressure.
No. So sometimes it can lower people's blood pressure, waking up like postural hypertension, but generally, people don't really see many. Maybe the odd disturbances in their bowel sort of habit a little sometimes, you know, you might find it, but you'd know it by now, so you've got away then with the things which may be a problem, so that's good. I mean, I've got to give you this folder, and it does contain a lot, but it's what's nice with chatting to you. I'm thinking I'll be able to.
I've got some of that.
Have you?
I spoke to somebody who had prostate cancer, and I got all the stuff.
Oh, did you?
Yes, if you could. So preserve that for another chat.
You sure? That's good. I mean, we've got the one about the two programs. Have you got those?
I don't think we probably haven't got that.
Why don't you take it then? Because you don't know what else might be
there. Yeah. Okay. My advisor
has said it. Yeah, because it's free. Well, you're unchargeable. So, no, it's. There is occasions that, although they put people on, they're not recommending any treatments at the moment.
Right.
But sometimes the goalposts move, don't they? You know, and at the moment, all the treatments we offer are in this pack.
Okay.
When people are on active surveillance, often it's because it could, even if there's a small percentage chance, you might need one of the treatments in the future. So what we do is we like you to have it to read.
Sure.
It's sort of in the cupboard.
I'll take it with
you. And you don't have to, but the whole range of things that you might not even need any of them, or might need maybe one of the milder treatments if
I'll take them from
work. Is that alright? Then you have a little search in the web for things that.
Very good.
I'll put the scary template biopsy information in as well. You know that?
Yes.
If Mr. Dudridge decides that does not need it, you can even throw that in the bin with joy and things then. And,
I'm coming daily, shouldn't I?
Yeah. Now, you know, because you've got a medical person as well, would you like a copy of your results complete, you know, so that's the MRI.
Right.
And that's the histology. Right. At least then you've got the technical bits that might be of help and things, because to save you. That's really helpful, that map, because I'll get that scanned in maybe finally when you see the bridge next.
Right.
So, is there anything else I can help?
I think it's all right. Thank you very much. Okay. Well, that's very nice. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, brilliant. No,
right. I said I switched this off.